This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Okay. Hey, guys. Welcome back to another episode of The Things You Can't Touch, the podcast where philosophy meets the real world. Join us as we touch on the things you can't quite put your finger on but won't stop thinking about. Today, guys, we have one of the most special guests ever. I've been trying to get Leah on this podcast for so long. The work that she does is genuinely incredible. And I just think I should hand it over to you to just introduce yourself a little bit and let the people know who you are.
Oh, God, you got me emotional, Chair.
I don't want to start already.
I know, you got me really emotional. I just want to say thanks for the invite, Queen. I don't say, as you know, I don't go on any podcast and I don't say yes to a lot of people. Your energy, your vibe, you're such a beautiful person. So thanks for the opportunity. So I'm Leah Lauder. I'm a mega church cult survivor. I spent 18 years in a mega church cult under Dag Ewad Mills. Ministries include First Love, Mustard Seed and Pleasant Surprises. And then I started speaking out last year because I came to the realization that I was in a pandemic. I was in a cult during the pandemic.
Okay. And you only started speaking about it last year.
Yeah, because girl,
it feels like you've been doing this for so long.
Girl, when I came out, I was a mess. Like, because when you first come out, you're disassociated. You lose all sense of identity. You're confused. The way I can liken it is like, you know, when you've lost someone, when you're grieving and the world doesn't feel real.
Yeah.
Like you really do go into like that detached. Full psychosis. Yeah. Because with the spiritual psychosis, you get those, you know, the distortion of reality. Mm-hmm. But then when you leave, it's that, not that transition, but it kind of goes into just psychosis because you don't have the religious element anymore. Mm. So you feel that loss of control. Yeah. You're confused. You don't know who you are anymore. Yeah. Majority of these church cults, their whole identity is being a born again Christian.
Yes.
So when they come out and they're away from the environment that they have formed a trauma bond and codependent relationship with, it all starts to fall apart. Yeah. And then because they've got that backsliding doctrine where people feel like when they come out, they just might start, if someone was an addict, they might go back to that, or they might go back to drinking and like, oh, it's the devil. We see the hyper-religiosity, the spiritual psychosis. Yes. But actually it's because you were raped when you were younger by your uncle, and then you've been ABUSED'd by all different family members, and then you've come into this really hyper-religious abusive setting, and then you've come out and you've gone back to your to what feels like home, your coping mechanism.
Yeah.
But do you see where the psychosis comes into it, where the condemnation, the devil, and then they just go
this
crazy.
This is even something that I wanted to talk about, which is, and the thing is, I'm just gonna, first of all, let me ask you the question, actually.
Because I talk for England, you've got to rein me in.
It's perfect, it's amazing, because I honestly, with the time that we have, I want to get as much information out of you.
Amazing.
And the actual aim of this episode really is to touch at least one person who is in one of the cults now, so that they can hear what you're saying in a long form, like, content. I know you do lives, but people often sometimes they miss your lives. But I want people to be able to watch this and be like, yeah, that sounds like my condition. I need to do something about that, basically. Anyway, the question that I have for you, and we're going to try and make as philosophical as possible, guys, is there a difference between a community and a cult? Because on the offset, you would think that surely any form of community can be considered a cult and vice versa. Mm. But I know that you've been doing research. You said you're writing a book.
I am, yeah.
And I just wanted to ask, according to your research, your experience, what would you say is, you know, are the defining factors?
All right, so cult is quite a historical word to use, but I use it because it's got that shock factor where people can understand. But in like current cult psychoed, we actually call them high control groups. So it's in the name, high control. A community is not controlled.
Yes.
It's not. When you look at Stephen Hassan's models and his theories, you look at his bite model, which is the way that cults assert authority through behavior control, information control, thought control, and emotional control.
Okay.
Then when we look at his influence continuum, he looks at how leadership can be used, influence can be used in a negative or positive way.
Mm-hmm.
So what negative leadership looks like across an organizational, individual, and then a group setting. So we've got things like authoritarian structure, tyrannical, you can't have your opinion, no critical thought. So in a community, rather it's about love, it's about flourishing, it's about autonomy. So it would be the opposite end of that.
Yeah.
So it would be what positive influence looks like, because my mum runs a community club, a big one, in a certain area. And, you know, I've seen them help hundreds of people completely transform and change their lives.
Yeah.
And that's not been through dictatorship or control.
Yeah.
That's been through support and love.
Yeah, and having that freedom to make that choice.
And I just want to, can I just say a few characteristics of a cult? Because
I think
this is really important. Because how you would know the difference between community and cult, the first one is that they have a charismatic leader that is the ultimate authority. So I'm going to
When you say charismatic, what does that look like? What does that mean?
This queen is smart,
just so people know.
Oh my God.
Exactly.
Do you know what? I
about.
Bloody love that question. Do you know why? Because when you think of charisma, you might think of someone like me, really, you know, and the Lord. But my cult leader, Dagwood Mills, and also I want to say Oyedepo, he's the richest, I think he's one of the richest pastors in the world, isn't he? Mm-hmm. And then we've got Macedo, the billionaire pastor. When you look at them, my ex-cult leader, Dagwood Mills, he's not a smiley person. I wouldn't say he's got much charisma. But remember, to stand up there in front of thousands of people and speak, that takes charisma, girl.
Yeah. Do you know what I compare it to? Hitler. It might sound crazy.
Say Schmittler, because on TikTok I won't be able to
that. Okay, right. Schmittler.
Yeah.
Because
The
German leader who committed atrocities in Germany, he was very good with his words. And I think that's what gets the young people. And what you said earlier is something that I just want to touch on right now, because I was going to go there later on. But you mentioned something about people's past, in that it's a basically, for me, it's like there is a certain type of person that these cults are able to engage. And these people, for me, this is a personal observation, are people who are vulnerable, and their vulnerability lies in a lot of guilt.
Yeah.
I think a lot of these people have either done something or they've been through something that makes them feel guilty, and they are intentionally putting themselves in these high control environments in which they have structure, in which they have someone telling them this is good and this is bad. Mm. And it makes them feel better about themselves. It makes them feel better about what they're doing, which is why when they, you know, do these things and they evangelize, evangelism is another thing that I want to talk about. It's like they feel better about what they like are pushing away. Because a lot of the people who I have unfortunately watched fall victim to these cults are people who they were very sexually promiscuous, for example. They were very free, if that makes sense. They would do a lot of drugs, they went to clubs, and it's like I'm not saying that certain sins, quote unquote, are worse than others. What I'm saying is societally, there are things that people consider to be bad. And because they have this pressure of, oh my gosh, this is so bad, like, and they get scooped up at the wrong time or the right time. Like the wrong person, the wrong person bumps into them at that point in their life.
Because it could be anyone.
Exactly. Do you know
what it's like? Do you know what I liken it to? That toxic boyfriend, do you know what I mean? That you've just got out of a relationship with.
Yeah.
And now when you get out of that relationship, you've jumped from the pan into the fire, because now you've gone from dating a narcissist to a psychopath.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I know
it's
exactly
like that similar.
Mean.
Yeah. And so that's why how I describe it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? To like a toxic relationship, because I think it's helped, especially the women, to be able to separate themselves from the cult control and the leadership, because they control your whole life. I wanted to touch on something as well. Well, we might as well talk about steps, Cher.
Yeah, let's
get into it, Cher, because you're talking about, you know, men with, actually, I don't even know, you were talking more about the victims, but I want to talk about it from the lens of the
cred.
All right?
Go on.
God help me, and I don't want to break down. I'm sorry, I've just been holding in so much.
No, it's okay, I understand. Take your time. Sorry. Take your time. Do we have tissues by any chance?
That's cool. sorry. It's just because it's so fresh.
I want you to take your time. Because that's the thing. That's another thing I wanted to say, which is that this is actually a really heavy topic that we're talking about. And you're so strong.
Thank you.
I don't want to, because sometimes when people keep talking and you're already emotional, it makes it worse. But honestly, you're so strong. You're able to do this constantly, every day, for the sake of other people.
Because who's going to do it?
Exactly.
Nobody cares about our communities. No one cares. Let's just talk about it. It's not the black churches. It's not the black churches are a problem, but we have a problem in the black church. Yeah. Let's talk about it. They don't give a shit about us, man. Mm-hmm. Our young people, they don't give a shit about us when we live in the hood. They don't care, girl. I've worked with young people in gangs and vulnerable people like my whole life.
Yeah.
And I fought tirelessly for justice for our communities. And I thought that the church I was in was helping. And it's the biggest part of the problem.
And that's another thing I wanted to touch on. I want to give you a minute, because you're strong, Leah. You've got this.
And I didn't want to cry. Because I want to be able to do the interview. And, you know, I've been so depressed. And you can put all of this in. Okay. Because I want people to see the realness.
Yeah.
As you know, I've got CPTSD and I've got borderline personality disorder. I've got chronic kidney disease and I've got Addison's. Okay. And even this morning, if it wasn't for Claire coming out with me today.
Yeah. It would have been difficult.
And I didn't want to let you down because I know that,
I really appreciate it.
You know. And so... that's why I came, but it's tough because they think like bitch, like when I walk down the street, like I'm a celeb in it, like men are stopping. It's that vibe. I don't need to become, do you get what I'm saying? I don't need fame. I know.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Who I am. Yeah. I am that. Yeah. I've always been this bitch. Yeah. I don't need fame for people to whatever. It's not, they want it. All them gyal there in the church cult. That's what they're in there for. D and fame. Don't give a shit about Christ. Yeah. Don't care about nothing.
That's another
all they
thing,
care about is themselves. They're fake. Yeah. The reason why I believe God has chosen me is because I don't care for them things.
Yeah.
When I joined the cult, I gave up my dream. I was on the X Factor in 2007. Yeah. We didn't have social media. Don't you get it? It was the TV. Back in the day, this is 2006 and 7, we didn't have social media. We didn't have iTunes.
Yeah.
We didn't have it. How you would get a record deal was going on shows like that or a record
it's
deal
so
and they
sad.
Stole it from me. They
it's
took
so
it
sad.
From me.
Because that, you know, this is currently
my
what's
life.
Happening. And the thing is, no, they haven't. I understand why you would say that. I understand why you would think that they ruined what you thought you could have had. But I think everything happens for a reason. That's not me justifying anything that happened to you because it's not fair. It's not right. It's not good. But I do want to say that your life is not ruined. Your life is not over. There's so much more that is out there. And you're doing so much with what you have right now. You're doing so much. Genuinely, you're going to go down in history. Because people, and that's the problem. When the majority doesn't agree with you, it feels so hard. But you have supporters. You have like, up to what, like 6K on TikTok right now? Mind you, you've had so many accounts
down. I've actually got 8 accounts. Like I've got over 20,000 followers across the 8 accounts. But
people are
they come in
you.
And they report me. So I'm trying to get to 10K on one of the accounts so I can get the playlist.
Yeah.
But, you know... like even
guys support Leah, make sure after this episode you go and just follow up all of her accounts, please.
Thank you, Leah Lauder 77. I think with this whole let me explain what's happened with Steps and then I'll get into what I want to say. So with the situation with Steps, UK Thanos has made a bait page and she's called victims that have been essayed and raped to come forward so she can expose the preds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, within this, Steps' name has been called and more than 10 women have come forward talking about coercive control through essay and rape, okay? Yeah. as of this morning, as I was on the way here, there's also been, I think, two other women that have come forward and they've now posted very graphic picture evidence. Yeah. Okay. One thing I want to highlight with all of this, if, and I'm hoping you can put little screenshots on here when you edit.
I will make sure
you will
I
see
it.
The disgusting comments from so-called Christians.
Yeah.
Girl, as I say, and it's not all of the Christians, because when all of the stuff has been going on, I have Christians with good hearts who have called me and said, Leah, this is disgusting. But my point is, they're saying things like, innocent until proven guilty. Like, how can we? We need proof. We need evidence. But when their false prophet is preaching and selling invisible blessings, they don't need proof, evidence, or receipts.
Right.
So they have been abusive. And can you imagine being a victim and seeing this stuff? So actually, their behavior is drawing the victims to come forward, and now more are coming forward, and now they're posting pictures. So he's absolutely finished.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is he? The issue is that people are supporting him with this veil, with this cloak of Christianity. That's the problem. I've seen so many things going on, and that's another thing, because this conversation is very much going to touch on theology, philosophy, all of the above. And one of the things I'm trying to remember in my notes is that what happens in cults especially is theology becomes misconstrued. They take theology and they start to use it in a way that controls people, and also a way that fits their narrative. Because one of the lives that have gone viral of Steps is that basically him saying God will vindicate him, him basically saying that they persecuted Jesus and now like they're also persecuting me. And it's just interesting the way in which they use Christianity as a platform to propel their nonsense. Because that's exactly what's going on. You're using it to justify your actions. You're using it to justify the position that you're in and the things that you have done. When in actuality, if you are a good Christian, what you should be doing is repenting. You should feel very, very sorry. There isn't a drop of remorse in his eyes. And that is very, very frightening.
You know what? You're so amazing, because I want to add to this, and I want to say that, sorry, I'm even disassociating. Once, let me just get my...
Just take a minute.
Yeah, I'm disassociating. This is such a hard topic. I had it. Oh, yeah. You're talking about Steps' blasphemous statement to equalizing himself with God. What I'm going to say to you is that the rhetoric that Steps was coming out with in that video is completely normalized in the megachurch cult world, all right?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you an example. In my cult, we had this little script and we used to say, oh, Dagwood Mills is a medical doctor by profession. He's an evangelist. He's a healer. He's an author. He's a prophet. He's a personal buster. Okay. He's a screenwriter, script. So Dag actually has, did Jesus have, was it the sevenfold ministry? Whatever ministry Jesus had, it's like, you know, Dag's got way more. Do you know what I mean? Okay. Like ministerial gifts. And so what happens is, the cult leaders put themselves above Jesus, make the cult synonymous with God.
Yes.
And then the cult members are worshipping the monk or the cult leader as God.
There we go.
So then that equalizes them with Jesus. Yeah. Does that make
sense? What I want to do for the people is just attach a philosophical scholar to that, because there's someone who wrote about it. His name is, in fact, bear with me as I find him. I think it was...
Yes, girl, take your time. Yeah.
It was Paul Tillich. There's a guy called Paul Tillich, and he warned against making finite leaders into God's substitutes. And the issue is that a lot of cults deify their leaders. They make the leader seem like they are God. And what you see on social media, or like, what do you mean guys are coming out in masses to celebrate his birthday? What are we talking about?
They bake cakes. Did you see the cakes that
I saw. It was crazy. It was crazy.
It's
there were posters,
worship.
There were banners.
It's worship,
worshipping a man and not God. And I don't understand. Well, you can probably go into that for me, but I don't understand how people are able to fall victim to that. Like, how is it not clear and evident?
Mm. Well, like, firstly, you kind of answered your own question earlier, because you said that they pray and target upon vulnerable people when they're at that crossroad.
For me
personally, my boyfriend had just been unalived in police custody. I'm a survivor of child criminal exploitation. I was going out with real GMs in the car. Like what these fake church men them are talking about, like real gangsters, okay? So when I came into the cult, I had so much trauma. Like, listen, you see in the 2000s, it was a bloodbath in these streets. Do you understand? Like, now you can go south, it's all, they've gentrified it. Back in my day, you had to know someone to walk in these streets. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I went through a lot, chair. So by the time I come to the cult now, I'm presented as, I felt widowed, like I'm 19 years old. Like, there was someone unaliving, like every year, every other couple of months, you're hearing someone's got balled up. Someone's, you understand? Like, so it was just like, there was so much unalivement. It was just a bloodbath in these streets. And then, to be honest, the guys that I was dealing with, it was my fate. It was bound to happen because two guys that I was dating within that same time period are also unalived. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I'm saying this because I want people to understand the trauma. I was already in a psychotic or a schizophrenic state. So I'm coming to them. Even my pastor was like, yeah, she ain't okay. I used to come to the church with a big black straw hat, always dressed in black, because I was convinced in my psyche, my husband's gone and I'm widowed and this is me now. I'm just going to be widowed for the rest of my life.
Yeah, you were vulnerable.
So people are at a crossroad in life. They don't have
the
question that we should be asking is when they're approaching these people that they're targeting because they can see are vulnerable or have a mental impairment or have some sort of, you know, they're severely, you can see them.
Like
autistic,
they're going through something.
Yes, girl. Yeah. Yes, girl. Yeah. Like, I did the outreach the other day as a social experiment, made up a church name and pretended to do up outreach.
Really?
Yes, girl. And I was talking to people and I could have got two girls to give their life, but I felt bad because ethically it just felt wrong to me.
But do you see how easy that was? That is crazy.
But what I'm yet to do is actually go out and show you how they target vulnerable girls. Because I saw, for example, if you've got a girl that looks like she's about 15 to 18, she's got all her, you know, bust area out. Yeah. She's wearing a tiny short skirt. She's got a red weave that looks like it's beat up. Do you know what I mean? Like, they can see this is a girl with issues. This may be a teenager, a runaway to a teenager with clear issues. You can already see she's probably getting ABUs exploited. So what do they do? Come to that young girl because they know
we can
she's
save
gonna
you.
Have it.
We can help you. Jesus is the only way. You can only be saved in our church.
And you know what the worst thing is? When they see you crying. If they, you know, when you're just, life's getting too much, and you go out for a walk and you sit palm bent and you just want to have a little cry, they will be swarming you like maggots to flies.
That's the thing. That's the thing. People need to be careful when you're out in the streets, guys. Be careful. Be careful who you're vulnerable with. Be careful who you respond to when they speak to you. Not everybody wants to help you.
Yeah.
It might seem like that at the time. And that's how they get you. That is how they get you. That's how they get you. I remember it. It happens especially to those who are going to university this year, those who are going to university next year, those who are in university already. Be careful on your campuses. And that's another thing I wanted to talk about, the way that they intentionally target young people, because the people who are like 19 to like 25, you're at the perfect age where you're still finding yourself and you want to be secure. And that is the time that they're going to get you. They are going to swarm your campuses. They are going to talk to you in between your lectures and they're going to say, have you given your life to Christ? Do you want to? And the thing is, if you want to give your life to Christ, please go and find a church where there are older people. I think that's the best way for me to describe it, because if a church is filled with just young people,
that is a red flag, actually. But some of them elders share.
Churches are problematic as a whole, honestly.
Oh my God, them older women, because they get a lot of the time, they've got arranged marriages in there. The pastors told them who to marry.
Yeah.
And it's all good and well, because remember, they're in a self-sealing system. Yeah. When the kids come and the man's not getting his ass up out of the couch or he's not earning more, and you've got a growing family, and now you're carrying a man and the kids on your shoulders and you're broke. Because remember, because when they're single people and they're just in the church flying around, they don't have responsibilities. Then when they start to get married, they have to pay bills, they can have kids, they've got commitment, and they can't give as much, or they're going out with things to give. Because that's what I was doing. I was going out with without basic necessities, babe, like just like having nice clothes.
You were married in your church cult.
I recruited my ex-husband in. He just slid into my DMs on Instagram, girl, like any guy would. And because I was so severe.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Indoctrinated. I thought he was my husband.
Yeah.
And I ended up staying with him for 10 years.
Yeah.
Almost 10 years.
And you have children?
I have two kids.
With him?
Yeah. And I'm divorced now.
This is how much this can impact someone's life. It seems to have written your whole story. And that in and of itself is already, it's scary. I have to be honest with you, it's very, very scary.
This is why I'm doing what I'm doing, yeah. babe, because they're lying to you. Look how beautiful you are.
Thank you.
Pretty, stunning, you're intelligent. I could see you on the news, like having your own company, your own, doing so much brilliant stuff. And sorry.
They hold you back. Oh my gosh.
This is why I feel like
when
I'm doing what I'm doing, like there was a survivor that was going attending First Love, and I think she was there for 3 months and came on my life, and we managed to get her out as a collective.
Wow.
And she's singing, she's so beautiful, like you, and she's got a beautiful voice. And yesterday night I saw her like singing her song, and I was just sobbing. It was so many mixed emotions because they stole my dream.
Yeah.
But they didn't steal hers. And she gets to live her life, and women like you who won't end up, you know, marrying a dusty or the worst thing you could imagine is marrying a broke man.
Yeah.
It is absolute hell being bound to poverty. And I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. There's so many girls in there struggling in poverty. Yeah. To marry a dusty is a life sentence. It's absolutely traumatic. So ladies, please stay away from these church cult environments because they are full of dusty men, Jill. You won't even get, you know, you push out kids for this guy, whatever. You won't get you nothing on Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Nothing for your birthday. No appreciation. They don't take the wives on holiday. They don't do nothing with them.
Yeah.
It's just church because, and
but
offerings.
These are the men of God. These are the men of valor. And it's just, I think I want to touch on something else, which is linked to what you were saying, which is the fact that it's the type of people that are targeted. As you mentioned, it's the black community, it's the working class. And there's something that a guy called Michel Foucault spoke about. He spoke about power and how power is not just top down anymore. Before, people used to think, oh yeah, the people at the top is the government who is, you know, controlling us. But the people at the top have become so powerful that now they have such an influence that the working class are controlling themselves. The people who are oppressed are controlling themselves. Because the leader of your cult, he's a black man, no?
No, he's actually mixed race. He's half Swiss, half Ghanaian.
Right.
The reason why I say he's not a black man is because Dag doesn't identify as a black man, unfortunately.
Oh, interesting.
In his autobiography, he says he's half Swedish, half... He doesn't want to be black, unfortunately. Okay. Yeah, okay. He's actually... He's ACIS and he perpetuates whitey supremacist
rhetoric. He's literally the perfect leader for what he's doing.
Yes,
that's
girl.
Exactly what, because that's exactly we, what
let's
they
not
want.
Get into the that's why Africa is in the situation it's in.
Yes,
yeah,
and I've been talking about this
for that's I mean we have the same problem inside the church as inside the country.
Yeah,
they're just doing what people they might. They're African on the wrong politicians. Things. That's what these pastors are, babe. They're African politicians. That's what they are.
Yeah,
that's exactly what they're. They're more corrupt, but that's what we can liken them to. They ain't no blood clot different.
Mm-hmm.
Just teething the same thing that the African leaders do. Teeth all the money, the resources. You give nothing for the people them to piss on. Dagwood Mills, these cult leaders, they take all our money. They will rinse us dry. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, they used to get us to give offering at the beginning, offering at the end. Then they would do this thing on Tuesdays where Bishop Richard would say, I feel some people here. Yeah, they can give £200. Come on, come to the front, come to the front. So you've taken an offering in the service in the beginning. You've taken an offering at the back. Then you've raised like I don't even know, this seed offering. He would start from like two bills. Then he would go to 100. Then he would go to £50. Then he would go for 20, 10. And he used to do this every single Tuesday. And wasn't a cashless society before where you could exchange money. They had account detail. So they would tell us, go to the cash point and get out your money cash. And have your offering ready. Yeah. And when he used to come, I used to be like, oh, yeah, no, I need to tell you what he would do. So then we've given, okay. So in that service, on a Tuesday service, I would give like maybe a fiver first service. Then I might give like a tenner. Because by the end, they've oh my God, the amount of emotional manipulation.
Yes.
And then they would say, boost the offering. So you've given two offerings. You've given the raising of the seed offering. Maybe I've given two bills, £100, £50. Then he would say, boost the offering. Empty your bags. Look for your coins. Because we didn't have... It wasn't a cashless. That's why all of these little kids that have been a Christian... Babe, you haven't been a Christian for as long as I... You're not even old. The amount of time I spent in the cult, you're not even 18. I spent more time in the cult than your life existence, Cher.
Yeah.
To the point where I was giving coins and cash. We never had no...
Tax.
There weren't no tech, tech, tech.
It's crazy.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And there's no real proof. Like the OG survivors, we're the ones who have been, we've had it the most rough. Because we haven't even got a frigging paper trail. Do you know how much cash we've given? That's why I said, these survivors that are coming out in 2025, whatever, they're finished.
I understand what you mean.
Because they're going to have all, the whole trail, tapping, everything. They're finished. Yeah. They're done out.
Yeah. But there's like...
They're done out, man.
There isn't any financial evidence that you can provide necessarily.
Oh, yeah. Oh bitch. Yeah. I was given Healing Jesus board member £100 a month when I was a university student. I was 21 years old. Yes. Bishop Dag came to a Tuesday service and he goes... because he does these services, Healing Jesus Crusade service. Quickly, he has a crusade. He goes out into the remotest villages in Africa and he claims he can raise people from the unalive, heal the sick, do all of this. Yeah, you know like how Benny Hinn has the crusades? He does that. He goes to places like Burkina Faso, all of that. So it's emotional manipulation and financial exploitation. Because when he comes to London, we're the cash cow. So it's like Red Cross. So then he'll come and show us. He makes these movies.
Yes,
and it's like you'll see people with all these core morbidities, babies on their mum's back with, you know, like disfiguration in their face. It's so graphic that even if you're on benefits and you've got your last 10 quid, you're going to give it, man. Because it's like, I can go to a food bank. We've got, and that's how they indoctrinate you to see it. Yeah. So he has these Healing Jesus services. I think they're called Ben MP services. And then he will come and they have paper and they'll to preach a little fake message and they hand around the paper and you have to fill out your sort code, your account, everything on the spot. Yeah. So one day he came and he said, I know this is a lot to process. I need people to be Healing Jesus board members. You have to commit to £100 a month. And I was like, oh my God, this is a blessing. I've got my first full-time job. I can do it. So I put up my hand to go. And he said that the Healing Jesus board members will get to meet Dag afterwards and go in and get to ask him one question.
Right.
I'll never forget this. He preached on the perfect will of God, permissible will of God, and the imperfect will of God.
Wow.
And when I came in, he asked my question. I said, Bishop, because you know we had an accent.
Yeah.
Oh, Bishop, the message you preached was absolutely, you know, you have to beg it with him. And I said, I've got a question. How does predestination fit in? And I'm here feeling like, oh my God, you know, this is impressive. But obviously, I didn't realize at the time that the theological concept of predestination, when we look at those Calvinist approaches, actually contradict permissible, imperfect, because the whole ideology from Jeremiah 29:1, that God knew us before we were formed.
Yeah, she has the receipts.
I know what I'm talking about, bitch.
Because a lot of people in these cults, they lack theological awareness. They're not actually as in touch with Jesus Christ and their religion as they think they are. Because even with the concept of people preaching and evangelizing, steps specifically, it's interesting that you have suddenly... you know, become steadfast in your faith and now you're teaching. That in and of itself is problematic. I even wanted to ask you your thoughts on the concept of a youth pastor. Like, it's like there are so many things that come out of this whole conversation and it's like, we're definitely not going to be able to touch on all of them. We've gone through so much already and I really appreciate everything and I hope this is definitely, I hope this is reaching somebody. If it's just one person. But basically what I was going to say is, just moving on to like the theological aspects and just the accuracy of Christianity that they are, you know, absorbing, it's like what is being picked and chosen what you're being taught. A lot of it is a lot of prosperity messages, a lot of, oh yeah, do this and you'll make money, do this and you'll be rich, do this and you'll be good, do this and you'll have a good wife. But on the other hand, people are dying every day. And that is what you mentioned earlier. What are we doing about that fact? What are we doing about the fact that there are multiple genocides happening? What are we doing about the fact that there are people in poverty in our very own country? But your first thing is to preach against preach.
Beyonce.
You're talking about Beyonce. You're talking about these
They're only here about messages. Celebrities.
You're teaching homophobia is what I was trying to say. And you're trying to say, oh yes, sexual immorality. Is that the biggest of our issues? Is that really the biggest yourself our worries.
And they're
right
not
now.
Even hurting anyone. The pastors in the church that are raping, yes. NSA and the gyal them.
Thank you.
They're worried about the person in the church that's yeah. LGBTQ yeah, plus that wouldn't hurt now. A fly. Come on, man. They got their priorities wrong and they're severely indoctrinated, girl.
Yeah. Which is what I'm trying to say, in that the people at the top, because the whole thing that the white people at the top are trying to do is get the people who are oppressed to turn against each other so that yeah. they can be distracted whilst they continue making money. Yeah, and that's currently right. what's happening, especially within these Christian communities, quote unquote, because I don't even know if I should call them Christian anymore, but that's a conversation for another day. And ultimately what is happening is they are in this race to make sure that they turn everybody against each other, or they make people look the same. Everyone has to have this, everyone has to look this way. Every, like, even the RPF thing,
they
where
clone
they
them. It's
they're
called
rapping
cloning.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
my gosh.
Called psycho ed, it's called cloning.
Right. And the thing is, I didn't even know the terminology, but I could see it so clearly.
They also have another term for offline. You know that thing where it's like lights are on, but no one's there. Like, yeah. And it's like they just have that dull, like you could go like that and they wouldn't even move their eyes. They call it offline in cult
psycho. That's very, very scary.
Isn't it?
These
very
people,
profound.
They're not people anymore.
And we become a shell of ourselves, my love, because of the narcissistic gaslighting.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Yeah.
I got a bit of tea on SPAC. Mm-hmm. So as you know, UK Fanos, we've been speaking about this, has done the debate page. Now, yeah. I don't know, I can't remember his first name, but I know that the surname is Clark. Mm. There's a pastor in SPAC that's been apparently grooming and eating out of the great bowl with children as young as 15.
Yeah.
Now, what I want to say is, when you were talking about SPAC, I was like, oh, chair. I don't even know if I can talk about SPAC, because SPAC tried to hit me with a fake cease and desist.
Sorry.
Letter, yeah, but they've got this fake law firm called Law City. And do you remember when Toby was getting deported and all of these social media influencers were talking about him? Yeah. He was trying to slap all of us with these cease and desist letters, these fakes. So what a cult will do is they will try to intimidate people in a bid to silence them.
Yes.
And I thought that was really, really important to say with SPAC, because I don't know who SPAC think they are, but they're no gangsters to me. So their intimidation and the way that they were trying to silence me, it just didn't work.
Mm-hmm. So that's what they work. Like, they intentionally like reached out to you.
They sent it to me. And law firms would never send you a message on TikTok or Instagram.
They sent a message on TikTok.
And the guy who sent me a message is, he's not even a lawyer.
What? He's like, come on now.
He's like an apprentice or something. And guys, it's crazy. But again, let's just quickly highlight that.
Yes.
All right, let's talk about SPAC for a minute, yeah? Because we know that they've had the trap houses. There's been a lot of SA and grape happening there. But we've seen Toby and SPAC trying to rebrand themselves into this nation, family, wealth, nation, this and that.
He was even using AI to create his videos.
Right.
Yeah, sorry.
So they've been doing a lot of that. But the reason why the church hate Toby so much is because Toby is just loud about it. He's not trying to hide it. And what we're seeing with SPAC is that when you take that God element out of it, because Toby's not about God, when you take that element out of it, it is just a business.
Yeah.
That's all that they've done.
Yeah.
So they're targeting like people in the beauty, the music industries, like performing arts.
Can I tell
and
you
those
something?
Young people usually are neurodivergent, or they can't work 9 to 5s. And then he's taking them in the house and he's grooming them and indoctrinating them.
Yeah. Should I tell you how I got into podcasting?
How?
I was minding my business on the road one day. Someone approached me and he was like, oh my gosh, you're so tall, you look like a model. I was like, thanks. And he said, have you ever thought of being a model? I said, yeah, I have, but it's difficult to break into the industry. And he told me, I can make you a model. I took his number. He contacted me. He said, oh yeah, just make sure you come to this networking event. I ended up in SPAC Nation. Thank you. Yeah.
How long were you there?
That's, I went to one event and I ran, because that's the thing, that there's a difference between some people who can be like, some, for some people it's easier to be taken in by others, but I ran, and he didn't help me do anything. He gave me the idea for the podcast. Wow, and I said, yeah, I will. Thank you. And I left.
I'll take that.
So yeah, I'm, this is like two years later and I'm still doing this. But wow, it's very, very scary, because I could have genuine, I could still be there right now. He told me he's going to introduce me to all these people. I know all these people. SPAC Nation.
Yeah, that's what they've been doing. And I, do you know what I think is really strange? You know, like with the religious part of it, I think it's very like sadistic.
Yeah.
And I think with these malignant narcissists, these psychopaths, I think that feeling of being able to control people through religion, because Toby doesn't need to include religion. He could have just rebranded.
Yeah.
And rebranded as a business, himself as a youth.
Yeah,
leader,
as a, like an agency type of.
It's the ego, mm-hmm, and it's the control. Because mm-hmm, when they say pastors, they put themselves as equal to God.
Yeah.
And then you see people can't answer them back. It's that control. And because so, it, because actually, if a narcissist is saying something, can you answer a question, or you try and challenge it, you can give them a narcissistic injury.
Okay.
So they don't like to be proven wrong. They don't like critique. They don't like free fall. Okay. So that is why Toby, he can't take that element of religiosity out of it, because that is, it's because remember in cults they use the transcendent belief system.
Okay, can you quickly tell people about that?
Okay, so the transcendent belief system is, it's the overall vision that the cult have. So they have to use that to sell it to the members, basically, to get them under their control.
Okay.
The reason why this, because remember, a cult, it doesn't have to be religious. It could be a SEX cult, it could be a political cult, it could be an alien martial cult, it could be a guru. I was in a survival group of a woman that's in an environmental, her sister's in an environmental cult living in the friggin' wild.
Yeah.
So that, but anyway, what was I saying? I've gone off.
We were talking about SPAC Nation. You were talking about the leaders. You were talking about how they're egotistic.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, the transcendent belief system.
Oh, okay.
There we go. So with Christianity, what makes it so dangerous is that they use the Bible, the canon Bible, and they use mystical manipulation to twist the scriptures. So remember, and this Christians will think I'm attacking them, because at the core of it, their belief systems are the Great Commission, you know, John 3:16, you're supposed to go into the world, preach. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. It's how you do it. So they're using it as a transcendent belief system, the overall vision is we've got to win these souls. We've got to save the lost at any cost. But to the cult leader, bums on seats equals coins. Mm-hmm. So there's a concept in my book that I call the spiritual exchange, the spiritual transfer exchange. So names and meanings, they mean different things.
Yeah.
So for example, souls is the currency in there. So you're rich if you've got a lot of souls. And then that's in the spiritual context. But then when it comes to blessing them, we have to give it, we have to give them monetary, tangible things. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So they, what they do is they exploit the fundamental basic theology of Christianity, and they mystically manipulate it through their own premeditated, you know, their premeditated motives that are not, they're evil, they're not for good.
And they use
it to exploit people. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense.
Transcendent belief system.
It makes a lot of sense. Thank you so much. And when your book comes out, let me know. I'll be so happy to promote it. Genuinely, I'll even make sure I read it myself and give a review, everything. No, because everything that you're doing means a lot to me. But I just, we'll talk.
I'll invite you to talk. Because I'm going to do a triple blessing. In January, I'm doing a divorce party.
Okay.
I'll be 39. My 39.
Wow, congratulations.
And then, thanks, girl. And then my book launch. So I will invite you.
I would love to be there.
So it'll be, you can come along, girl.
I would love to, honestly. I wanted to ask you a question, just in terms of, do you think that these pastors believe in God?
No, because they think they are God. Remember, they're mentally unwell.
Okay.
So they're getting hallucinations.
That's something that I haven't.
Voices.
Okay.
So, all right. So
pastors themselves are psychologically a little bit.
Yeah. So we'll break it down. So they're usually malignant narcissists, mm-hmm, or they're psychopaths, or they're Machiavellians. Your Machiavellian is like the Trumps, the Putins. Yeah. Let me say that again for TikTok. Your Machiavellians are like the American leader, the Russian leader, the German leader. They start unnecessary wars. You can't speak to them. They're like a baby, a child. Yeah. They have temper tantrums. With the malignant narcissists now, it's like that narcissism spreads. So really and truly, when someone's in a, that's why I have a lot of survivors of DV and narcissism, because although they haven't been in a cult environment, when you have those one-on-one dynamic relationships with the past, it's like being in a narcissistic abusive relationship. Yeah. So back to your question, they are mentally unwell, babe. Narcissism is untreatable. Okay. It's a personality disorder in which they basically worship themselves.
Yes.
So they are hearing, remember, they're in spiritual psychosis. Listen to me. All of these cult leaders, these so-called mogs, each one of them has a claim to fame story.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So my bishop, he was listening to these tapes and all of a sudden the spirit jumped out and entered him. And then from today he can preach. Some of them have wild testimonies like RPF Bishop Adol Abin Wayego. He is friggin' been essaying and anyway, little girl. Anyway, he claims that he was a boxer. Then he went to Italy. Then the mafia got him out of prison. A girl, they got wild or, you know, like they were in their room and there was a light. And then all of a sudden, you know, God kept, they've got some sort of, they've got some sort of claim to fame, like some sort of prophetic, but it's hair and voices, it's delusions, it's hallucinations. They are in a psychotic, they're hair and voices, girl. Because God didn't tell you to take people's money. God didn't tell you to sell invisible blessings.
Yeah.
God didn't tell you to grape that woman. God didn't tell you to essay that woman. Mm-hmm. So, and then another thing that we have to look at is their character, because it says by your fruits, you will know them.
Yeah.
But again, through the spirit, currency exchange, they've changed fruits to saving souls. It's your fruits. How many people have you saved? Like when they were first coming on, they were saying to me, fruits. That's why in the listen, you're never gonna get someone more promoting Jesus and God, a God lover more than me. You ain't gonna find it nowhere, girl. You ain't gonna find it. So my thing is when they were coming on and they're like talking their shit, like, oh, she doesn't want to talk about Jesus because of this and that. No, I'm not talking about, the reason why I came in and I wasn't talking about scriptures and Christ is because people have been abused.
Yes.
Do you understand what I'm saying? So they were trying to demonize me and say, oh, I'm this and I'm that. No, because I can't show that side of myself to too many people. Because number one, it's supposed to be personal and private. Mm-hmm. But number two, that can exasperate. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, people's it can mental bring health back, and, yeah.
Yeah.
Just to clarify for the people, you are Christian.
No, I don't class myself as Christian. No. So, how I feel, and I think this is an important question. I don't really answer it on lives because it's ego.
Okay,
so
you don't have to.
Oh, no. Okay. I feel like I want to. So what I'm going to say is I do believe that Christianity is a social construct that's been created by men.
Agree with you
taking away the divinity of Christ. I'm not saying he didn't walk the earth.
You're not saying that God doesn't exist.
Right. I just don't agree with your religious and controlling. The structure. Remember, when Christ came, babe, it was a movement. It wasn't religion.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, there were a lot more messiahs. There were a lot more people claiming to be messiahs. The Pharisees they didn't unalive him because he was claiming to be the Messiah. That's a lie. It was because he threatened their social construct and their evil and the political money structures. Making. Yeah, girl.
Yeah, girl.
That's what happened.
Yeah, okay.
So it's all lies. So what I believe is like when you look at that, is it the Creed of Nicaea?
The
Nicene Creed. When you look at the formation of the canon Bible, when you look at the King James Version, you know, if we sit here and we say the Bible is infallible, you know, to me in 2025 it just looks like you're so ignorant and uneducated, because we have to admit they used it in slavery, they used it to justify abuse. So I'm not saying I don't believe in the Bible.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping, and this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
I love the Bible. I love the text, but it's been manipulated. It's been put together.
The concept of Christianity as a religion.
It is a patriarchal, whitey supremacist, Eurocentric misogynistic view of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. Where are the women in the Bible? Where is Mary Magdalene, the apostle to the apostle? She was the 13th disciple. Yeah. Where is she? Where are all the women that helped and funded Jesus Christ ministry? It weren't broke-ass Judas that sold Jesus out. It weren't freaking Peter that was snitching at the cock of the crow.
Yeah.
It was freaking Mary Magdalene, the first one at the feet of Jesus and the last one at the feet of Jesus. Babes, I'm radical.
Yeah.
You don't want to hear Prophetess Leah today, Jeff. Do you know what I'm saying, girl?
Yes,
if they want to bring out the beast, Prophetess Leah, it can come out, chair. Mm. But it's triggering to me and it's triggering to others. So when I say I believe in Jesus Christ, in his divinity, but I am not bowing down to the Eurocentric, patriarchal, misogynistic version of Jesus Christ.
You.
And that's
Thank
on period,
you.
Point blank. I won't do
Thank
it.
Thank you so much.
I've divorced
much.
That religion. I've Thank divorced you. It. I have spirituality and I have a personal relationship with Christ.
I'm currently in a this. I don't know what English to use, so I'm just going to use my hand to describe it. That's currently where I am. And it's just, it's nice to hear this from you, especially as a Black woman. A lot of people are trying to come to terms with this. Thank you for articulating it so well as well. And that's the thing.
Thank you,
a lot of the time on lives, people try to make it seem like you're just, I don't know, this crazy lady that doesn't know what she's talking about. And the thing is, I saw right through that and I already knew. You know, do you know how much terminology you have really brought up that I've had to ask you to clarify? You know what you're talking about. You've done your research. And that is, in and of itself, is enough for me to say to people, listen to Leah, please.
Listen to her
and take this forward and try to just reconcile what she's saying with yourself and your life. And just, please, all I could do is beg people to, because that's the thing, people who are in these cults are very unlikely to watch this YouTube video. So what I'm going to do is just make as many clips as possible.
Girl.
And tag you in all of
but,
them.
But the thing is with them, because there's so much hate, like once you put out something, you know, and I'm talking on it, what they start doing is they start sharing it and they don't realise that's what pushes the algorithm.
Yeah.
It was actually the trolls that made me bust. Thank you. Thank you, Church Cultural. Special shout out to First Love and Karis.
Literally.
Because you've really helped me to be what I am today. So thank you so much. I just want to thank God, Servant David Antry, for sending the Carriage Church God Trust. And I want to thank Dag Ewood Mills and First Love.
As you should.
Yeah, there was something I wanted to add, though, to what you were saying. But you know I talk so much. But what I did want to quickly say was I just wanted to add a few things about the essay quickly, because this is really important.
Yes, you said
that. Yeah, that's what I wanted to add. In addition to that, as you know, I'm a youth and community worker by profession.
Yeah.
I've worked with gangs and, you know, addressed systemic violence at many different levels, looking at how violence affects young people and children. I've worked with vulnerable families for over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got my master's in social work. So then that's kind of jobless, girl. Yeah, I'm jobless because the trauma made me disabled. How about that, Chair?
Yeah, but you've
I'm jobless
educated.
Because I've got severe mental health from the cult. Like, what the hell do you expect? But I wanted to say that because it's a lot of gaslighting. Like, tomorrow, if I was to apply to a job, I'd get any job I want within my field because it doesn't get any
You're
than what I've done. Yeah.
You're qualified.
But that's the thing. There's a lot of gaslighting. So I wanted to add that, you know, it is to do with research. Of course it is. But it's my life experience, my life's work, my academic, you know, practice that allowed me after. Because people who have been 18 years, they don't come out like this.
Mm.
But it's by the grace of God that I was doing my social work master's in the pandemic at the same time that I came to that realization. Otherwise I wouldn't be sitting here, girl.
Yeah.
But can I just quickly go through these essay
please.
Things that if you can edit it into that bit, because I want to say in our cult under Dag Ewood Mills, there is a culture, and it's actually in his Daughter You Can Make It book, where he says that if anything happens between a man and a woman, it's the woman's fault when they fornicate. Also, there's a woman who was getting raped by a high ranking pastor for many years. And when she went to Bishop Richard to disclose what had happened, that the pastor had been raping her, Bishop Richard turned around to this victim and said that when a man of God has a moment of weakness, you can be like a wall, permeable. He can get through, or you can be impermeable, a wall that can't get through. He also said that her legs are like a door. She can open and shut it. And I want to also add that when I first came out and I was talking about this, there were actual people in the comments from the branch, Mustard Seed Chapel International, 2A Carden Road, SE153UD, that were coming in my comments and doing up, it's a woman's fault. Da, da, da. So Dag is a grape apologist. He's got grape apologist tones in his Strange Woman book as well, where he says that a woman should cover up her chest because he only knows of two uses for it, to breastfeed a child and for her husband's enjoyment. Yeah. I want to also add, yeah, girl, Yeah, girl. This is why I said I needed to add these points. I told you Claire's powerful. And then another thing that I want to highlight is when you look at a guy like Steps, yeah, because he's going to be our poster pin-up golden favorite child in the collective movement now. Mm-hmm. So what I want to say is, someone like Steps comes up here, you're in Caris. Say like you've been in there for 6 months. He comes up, he gives his testimony. Oh yeah, like, yeah. I just want to thank God. I used to be outside. I used to be a player. I used to be with the man them drinking Magnum all outside, like just doing my thing. Like, I was a real gallus. Yeah. But here you are being an alleged essayer and rapist. You like eating grapes from the grape bowl with a sprinkle of coercive control. So when they come up, giving their testimonies, do you see how dark and sinister that is in the house of God, on the altar of God, by the pulpit of God? He's saying that he used to be a player, whatever, but really he was a rapist and an essayer giving a testimony. And then a lot, and then do you see that now he's come up and he's done that? It's like the hyper religiosity condones the behavior.
Exactly.
So they, so that's these church spaces are enablers, babe. They enable, especially the women. The women in these church spaces are the most evil, wicked women I have ever encountered in my life.
Okay.
They are enablers, all right?
Yeah.
They turn a blind eye to
enablers
abuse.
Are sometimes worse than the people who are committing the crime.
And Barbara the Builders, they will thing you in your back for a man.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Yes. Those are the type of women you got in them spaces.
Yeah.
So they condone it. Do you get what I'm saying? So it's like the rest of the girls are thinking, oh, but the women believe it. So it's like it makes them feel more comfortable. And then I wanted to add, Dag also used an example, and this is in the Daughter You Can Make It book.
It's just getting worse.
But babe, we need to understand why it's taken UK Thanos to do a bait page on Instagram, calling all the women to come out and expose the rapists and essayers. And who are the top ones on the list? Pastors, public faces that represent the Christian religion. That's why I said, don't call me a Christian babe outside in these streets, because then that puts me in the same category as Steps, and I'm nothing like Steps. I'm not cut from the same cloth as Caris and First Love and all of these church cults. I really believe in God outside in these streets, and they're giving him a bad name. So guess what? I don't think.
Yeah.
So Dag used an example of a wife.
Sorry.
Yeah,
do you want to finish? Because there's something that someone else spoke.
Because you know me, I'm on fire.
Just to like platform what you said with scholarly analysis. There's a guy, Irvin Goffman. He spoke about theatrical identity, and I think it's so interesting. Basically, what he's saying is that people are performing. And that's what I think these cults are. People are performing, because in your secret place, only God knows what you're doing. But to everybody else, you're this perfect, quote unquote, perfect person. You go to church, you're this, you dress modestly, you do whatever. But at the end of the day, what are people really doing? I used to know one girl, I'm not going to drop any names, but she would constantly sleep with a specific man. And then she will go and hide herself in Christianity and things of that nature. She will post things that she's doing on like a private story and make sure that the people in her cult won't see it, because she knows that they wouldn't condone it, if that makes sense. And it's like, this is the thing where the director of this play is the cult leader and everybody else is just acting on a stage, because on stage they're different to what they're like backstage.
Yeah, because it's acting. And also I want to say that is one of the characteristics, like, that we can say that cults are performances.
Yes.
So there's competition, they put you in triangulation, there's triangulation. Ranking. Yeah, so basically narcissists, when they're like with a woman, they put them in triangulation, so then there'll always be another person involved. So they try and like make you compete. So he might be sleeping with two girls at the same time. So but in church cults, I'll give you an example. So Dag started First Love in 2010. He came to the church one day, long story short, the usher at the door didn't recognize him, didn't greet him the way he wanted to be greeted.
Yeah.
So he came on, then he said, "Master, see, you guys don't respect me. The little ones in First Love, they respect me, they give more offerings than you." He said, "That's it, I will never come and preach in London for you again. You don't honor me, you don't respect me." So he put us in triangulation, because he knew he was going to start First Love, but we were like the washed up ones, the ones who were like stone, wearing skirts to the floor. And he had said, "You can't wear nail varnish, you can't wear colors." Then First Love started doing it, so he couldn't just come in and tell us to start dressing like that, because we were severely indoctrinated. We thought all of that was a sin. So he started doing it, but then we were talking like, wait, we couldn't do that when we were younger. So he wanted to separate us and put us in competition. So now it's like, we feel like we need to be like first love, because the church was unalived. And then they started singing. But by that time, he's rinsed out all of the members, rinsed us dry. Mm. We've got so much trauma. We've got so much, like our bodies are worn out, and he just discarded us. So we started being in competition with first love, because we felt like we had to prove to him, to validate us, that he still loves us. Because remember, he wasn't coming to preach. So he would come in the UK to preach with first love and wouldn't even come and shit on us. Mm. Then on top of that, wouldn't even come and pay attention to us. And then on top of that, remember, he's indoctrinated us to see him like a spiritual father, like our daddy.
Yeah.
So we're all depressed, like jealous.
Yeah, he's not giving us attention. Because then it
creates jealousy. So you see in triangulation, he'll be sleeping with two women, but maybe giving one of the women a bit more attention and playing them against each other, because he wants that supply for them to argue, for them to fight over him. I went out with a guy like that, but the difference is I like him. When I found out he was sleeping with that girl, I just left him, because I'm not going to give you that supply.
Yeah.
But in there, because they do it through it's religion.
Bigger, yeah. It's just, it's a lot more.
This is the man that can bless or curse us, babe.
Yeah.
This is the man that can change our life. Like, like our healing, our blessings, our everything comes through this man.
Allegedly.
So when you were asking, oh, how do people, like, how do they fall victim to it? Look, like, you come in with traumatic pasts, a plethora of trauma. And then on top of that, you're young, you're naive. The things, like, you haven't even learned about things in friggin' school. You're still in school.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Oh, you barely know about science. You don't know anything. And this is what I was thinking about the other day. It's so predatory in nature, because you've got these old, washed up, haggard, frizzled, like friggin' wrinkly, old mogs like Dag Ewood Mills. And then you've got a bag of young people around him. That's weird, man.
That's good.
That's weird. That's giving pred behavior. If it was any other environment, we'd think something is wrong.
Yeah, literally.
Why are they doing that? Why is it all young people? Like what you said, that's a major red flag.
And why is it actually okay? Why have people not opened their eyes to see that that's problematic? There's one thing that I want us to run through, but I think you had one more thing that you wanted to talk about. I'll let you finish that.
So triggering. I think it's been more about the essay and Great Babe, because I'm not lying. This is the main thing that's going on. Like so many, and I want to say with the steps, this is going to be all over the place. Like, just edit it.
Don't worry. I love it. I love it.
So just quickly with steps, and this is hot off the press. What I want to say is, obviously, up until this point, it had just been kind of allegations, them sending the messages to Thanos. But now victims have started to come forward directly to me.
Wow.
All right. So, and then we've also, just a quick update, which is fresh off the press, we've got the SPAC pastor that they've started to bring up.
Mm.
Then we've got another guy. I'm not sure if he goes to Caris. We're trying to figure it out. Mm. But there's quite a few. It looks like now that there's a lot of women who are coming forward exposing pastors. It looks like it's a bit of a trend at the moment. So not a trend, you know, but that is what it is.
Yeah, that is
what everybody's talking about. And I think this movement is so great, because I think it's empowering other ladies to come forward and expose them.
I just want to shout out UK Thanos very quickly. Thank you so much to you, because you've done a great thing. And it's a thing where people were becoming too complicit and too complacent in this society. I don't know what happened, but thank you for bringing back the bait up pages, and thank you for using it for the right thing, because a lot of people would have done something else completely different.
I rate it, man, because she's put her name on it
so
as well.
Much so, that's
how I am. I don't cur. Yeah. I don't cur. Like when they say, no, she's talking about gangsters and this at the gang members, but when it, you see, when it gets to that point when you've got something like on your heart to do, you just got to run with it. Because like for me, if I wasn't speaking out about this, who would? Like, there's no one talking out about it.
You know, literally nobody's talking about it.
Do you know what I mean? And it's like, oh, get on with your life. How am I supposed to get on with my life? 18 years, you think I'm going to get on with my life? All right, let me say this, because this is so important. So Dag has a book called daughter, you can make it. And Dag used an example of a wife that was pregnant and she wouldn't give her husband schmegs. And he went to start going and having schmegs with schoolgirls. And Dag compared the schoolgirls to Esther and the wife to Vashti. Esther was replaced by the schoolgirls and there was victim blaming towards the wife. So do you see how they actually endorse PDF behavior?
Yeah.
And Dag is a great apologist. We can see that in his Strange Woman book and we can see it in his daughter, You Can Make It, Become We Could. And even in the Model Marriage, there's also great apologist remarks in there.
He has
as well,
written so many books.
Yeah, he says that if a woman doesn't feel like having schmecks with her husband, she should still do it because it's her duty.
Okay, thank you.
And yeah, I just want to say that they normalize, this is in the words of a small collective of survivors where we were talking about this last week. And it says normalizing PDF, it doesn't, oh yeah. So normalizing PDF, it doesn't condemn the actions of the husband sleeping with the underage girls.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So again, they are enablers. They condone this type of behavior. They are dysfunctional environments where dysfunctionality becomes normalized and people become desensitized to ABUSE, to toxicity.
Mm-hmm.
The women internalize misogyny. Mm-hmm. The men are walking around covered, reeking in hypermasculinity, which is absolutely repulsive.
Disgusting.
To the point where the pastors have to indoctrinate and force women to marry these men. Because remember, we're severely... If my pastor had said, Leah, marry Timothy from Leeds Branch, I would have married him. If my pastor had said, like, because he was my spiritual father, I saw him like Jesus Christ. There was nothing. If Bishop Richard, Dad gave me a direction as a spiritual daughter of the house, that's when they call you a spiritual daughter of the house. When they've given you enough tests, they've given you enough instructions and you've just done what they've said and you've not asked any questions and you've got it done. And it took me about 14 to 16 years to prove myself to them.
Really?
Because I was on the X Factor. I was coming from gangs. I had to prove myself extra. I'm pretty. The pretty girls, there's no pretty privilege in there. So pretty girls are demonized.
Okay.
They're demonized. They're demonized in there.
Okay.
So there's a lot of, it's just such a toxic. And then what happens is, because when the women come in, especially like when they're young and fresh and, you know, you get discarded at like 25, like your life, like expectancy is like 25 in first love chair. Once you're 25, you're old. Do you know what I'm saying? So he just discards them. And then the other women who stay there, they're washed up. They're in unhappy marriages with dusties, broke-ass ninjas that can't pay the rent. They can't pay the bills. He's sleeping in on the sofa or he's sleeping in they won't have a separate room because they're broke. So he's sleeping on the settee. His socks are in the fridge and on the floor and he doesn't want to touch his wife. His wife repulses him. When he wakes up in the morning, he's like, oh shit, I married this broad, I've got to spend a lifetime. They don't want listen. And the men who know that the women trap them, that's why I don't condone affairs, but I'm not always listening to the women, because some of them women are wicked, especially the church cult women. They'll be in the house, they'll be arguing with the man, they won't be cooking the man no dinner, but you were the pick me. You were the barber and the builder. You were running around in these streets. My man. I'm going to cook for your husband. Cook for him. Now when he's been stinking. When my husband was being stinking in the house, I still used to feed him because I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
We're living in the same yard. Am I going to leave the man to starve? So don't let the sun go down on an argument or whatever. It's like the basic. Do you know God will tie you in with someone to test you, to see how loving, to see. Then there's no love. That's when you see the evil and the wickedness that's really in their heart, when they're in their marriages, when they're behind closed doors. Nobody don't see their nastiness behind them closed doors. And then they're both as wicked and evil as each other. So they come to the church acting all holier than thou. When their kids have just seen mommy and daddy don't talk. That's why the kids are so effed up. Sorry. That's why the kids are so damaged, especially the pastor's kids. The pastor's kids was either Barbara turned to Ben. Yeah. Or they're absolutely hyper religious. You know, it's Ben's turn to Barbara and living in Las Vegas with his husband. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or they're hyper religious, doing
Ben's
the same thing as their dad.
To Barbara is actually hilarious. But sorry, I just
do you know how many pastors'
that?
Kids I know that are gay or that have transitioned? Do you know how many pastors' kids I know that are in the closet?
I'm not even sure.
Do you know how much same gender great like essay that we've got going on in First Love and Daggy with Mills Cole?
I'm not surprised.
Okay.
I'm not surprised.
Just because I haven't spoken on it yet, it doesn't mean that it's not happening.
Yeah, exactly.
It is.
All of these things are interlinked. Of these things, like once you see something, you just expect the next thing. And that's one thing that I wanted to say, especially on this thing about steps. When people heard it, people were shocked.
Oh, let me show you the picture quickly, girl.
I'm so scared of it. I'm so scared of the picture.
No, girl, you have to see this. Look, just look at that.
No.
I think there's been about 12 girls that have come forward. It's the shock of it as well, isn't it?
No.
But again,
because that is what is happening. Like, that is actually what is happening. But that's even what brings me back to what I was going to say. Like, when people are talking about it and they're telling me that they're shocked, I look at them and I'm like, why are you shocked? Because whenever I see people turn to hyper-religiosity, the first thing that I think, not even on a victim-blaming thing, but the first thing that I think is, what did you do? What did you do that you're so guilty that these cults are able to grab you? What happened? And this is what happened.
You know what I wanted to add as we're on this thing, because I'm gonna put this in, this is an exclusive chair. I'm doing some content, and I was speaking to Claire earlier, and I was saying that basically, let's look at Steps as the pinup poster child boy. Now you've got someone like that. Now let's think, before he started getting exposed and whatever, you know, when he was the golden boy in his the height of his career, 3.4 million. Karis are like, yes, this is our golden child. This is free big promo. Because remember, the lifeblood of a cult is recruitment. So they like influence. If they've got someone with influence, millions of followers, etc., they're going to get their claws and teeth into them.
I'm going to ask you about this, because I even wanted to ask about, like, as you said, the lifeline or
lifeblood of the cult.
Okay, lifeblood. I want to ask you about how it happens. How do people end up in the cult? What does the evangelization process look like? What's the story, basically, is what I want to ask you.
All right, let's talk a little bit about recruitment tactics.
Yeah, first, okay.
So it's not outreach and evangelism, it's recruitment. And recruitment is the lifeblood of the cult. So it is the blood running through its veins. That's why one of the characteristics is a constant drive for recruitment, inordinate amounts of your time, and a constant drive to raise funds, because they can achieve all of that through recruitment. Mm. Because remember, what you need to remember is bums on seats equals coins.
Yeah.
So what they do is they use love bombing. So for example, let's say that you see you're in this beautiful fit. Let's say that this was looking dirty and that hat looks like it's ready to throw away, and your weave was looking like a mop of straw.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey girl, oh my God, you look so good. Oh my God, I love your hat. Where did you get your hair from?
Gosh, but you look so a mess, Jer. Yeah.
I want to take your dress and hat and put it in the washing machine, Jer.
Okay.
But the love bombing, the gaslight, it's just straight up lies and deception. They use a lot of charm. Another thing that we do up in there is Children of God, they had a concept called flirty fishing. They do it in Dagewood Mills Lighthouse.
Oh my
They've
gosh.
Got a concept called deep sea fishing, where we're told to go after the surface and deep sea, like, look for the people. But do you know how many girls I've known who have fallen and guys who have fallen because they're out doing outreach, but they're speaking to that guy because they fancy him. He's speaking to that girl because she's a painting, and he wants her to come in the church so he can blow her back.
Thank
just
you.
Like the yell them. They make them desperate pick-me's and Barbara the Builders. Yeah. So they're going to go and get them out because they want some D. So they're going and chatting to the guy who's, I'm sure he could tell us. Loads of girls that have probably tried to come and chat to him from the church.
A lot of people talk about it. The evangelism. Wait.
Because he's not bad looking guy. Do you know what I mean? So I can imagine.
I'm sorry,
the
William.
The girl must have been on your D.
You catching strays.
Yeah, the filmer
he's
guy.
Catching strays, man.
He knows it because he's a good looking guy, man. Them gal, they were trying it. Come on, tell the truth. He knows he's had that before on the church.
You know, he was telling me even about how some people were approaching him. But basically what I was going to say is that the method of evangelizing is very interesting.
Bag of trio
fours. It's like you're basically like moving someone in your evangelism.
Let me tell you how I met my ex.
Oh God.
My boyfriend had just unalived. Not my ex-husband. There was a Northwest hood clean thing that I was dealing with from Stonebridge. So I'm driving down Harsden now, just going to get my food, whatnot. So I see this brother on the corner. Now he looks like a less good looking version of my boyfriend who unalived.
Damn.
So what have I done? Spun the car around, stopped in the middle of the street and gone to speak to this guy in the name of evangelism.
Damn.
I went to go because I wanted to speak to him. It was my trauma. It was my grief. Now, I'm not saying all the girls do that, but majority of girls, and they don't like the fact that I'm exposing their thoughts,
what is
like
happening.
Their secrets.
Yeah.
They don't like it.
And it's a little bit obvious, though.
But babe, I'm not going to lie as well, for lack of a better word, but a lot of them gal in the church, they're retired 304s. I'm not going to lie to you. I know there's a lot of gal them. When I first started talking out, a lot of brothers were coming forward, especially Winnie and them gal there in SPAC. That's why I had to tell Winnie, shut your mouth. Get my blood clot utes name out of your bald headed head's mouth. You get me? Because at the end of the day, Winifred, the man them from have told me about you, babes. So as soon as I said to her, Winnie, if you don't shut your mouth and stop talking your talk, yeah, I'm going to get the man them to come and tell everybody about you. Oh, I never heard a peep from her again.
Oh, okay.
So again, these gal them, they come in. And it's not like, I'm not demonizing girls. I'm not trying to be derogatory and break down another woman and whatever. I'm not doing that. But what I'm saying is, if you know you've got that past, and then, like, for example, in RPF, there was a praise and worship leader or a choir leader, whatever. She's a washed out gal from South. Everybody knows about her. So a survivor came, and now she's got pregnant and whatever, and it's like she's beating her down and acting a certain way, yeah, because she knows that she's a retired 304. So now you've got that position of power as a leadership, because everybody's treated you like the 304 you are. That's why it's important for me to highlight these things, because I need people to understand there's a lot of unresolved trauma. A lot of these gal are honey trappers. They'll trap you, they'll sleep with your man, they'll do so much stuff behind your back, and they don't even love their kids. And then these are the type of people that end up in the church cult. It's when they're washed up. Like, look at Steps now. Now Steps is cancelled, and he's going to become even more embedded in the yeah, cult. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's him now. But that's, you reap what you sow, scary, unfortunately. That's karma.
And it's just the way that they snatch people's karma, destinies, man. They snatch people's destiny and their future. Because that's what you said, it happened to you.
The church is full of washed up nobodies that wanted to be somebodies. That's what they're full of. So you've got all of the... That's why when I came out, I said, baby, don't ever get it twisted. I'm not a washed up music artist or whatever. Yeah. I left because I chose Jesus. I was at the height of my career, and I chose Jesus Christ over the so-called world. Yeah. But a lot of people have been like on the X Factor or try to like make it. Like, look at that guy we were talking about from Maverick City. There's a guy who tried to go solo from Maverick City, and then he's flopped. And now all of a sudden last year, he's coming back. Oh, and I've come back to Maverick City. It's like Christians are so dumb. You're so dumb. You're so naive. You're so stupid. If I was to come out next week and say, I forgive me, repent, I want to come back to Jesus, I have been a bad girl, I want to come home, I'm sorry, forgive me, you lot would be taking me in like the idiots you are. Just like Doreen Virtue, there's a woman who was into new age spirituality, creating tarot cards, then all of a sudden she has this epiphany and she's a friggin' Christian now, born again Christian. Yeah. But what you need to understand, just like that woman, what was her name, that Adara, that Ghanaian woman, I can't remember her name, the fake prophetess who swindled them out of all of their money. She was a frigging fetish priest. Now, I'm not here to demonize New Age. I'm not here to demonize, you know, people that are into other practices. But I'm here to say that there are a lot of people, because they're wised up. Christians are dumb. Like all of the fetish priests or whatever, they got their critical thinking. They know that Christianity is evil. The social construct of Christianity. Yeah. So they come in and they infiltrate it, and they know that the people are dumb and naive, because they're going to do anything. They're like slaves. Yeah. And when people clock it, they come in and they use it as a cash cow. Look at Brittany Renner. But that's with Muslims. But you can see she did it for some D. Look at, what's the other one? Oh, you know the one? Oh, what's her name? Brie. The one. No, not Aaliyah Marie. The other one, the American one with the braids. He was wearing the shorts, the suit, and it looked like she weren't dressed in nothing. Oh, you know who, that she's a mess. The girl who was chatting to Lil Baby. My God. What was her name?
I was going to say Krishan Rock.
She used to be on that one, the rapping thing, Oh, come on, that idiot. She's always, B. Simone,
yes, we got
girl. Yeah, I had to get the name because she, B. Simone. Do you understand what I'm saying? Then we've got, like, even the other day I saw Kay Coates giving his life to Christ. You lot might not know him because y'all are too young, man. Look at me showing my age. Shit. All right, Kay Coates got signed to like Rock Nation years ago. He's from Stonebridge, innit? But I was shocked to see, because I know he's really about that life in real life. So when I saw him getting born again, I was like, Ross Clark.
Interesting.
When people, it's just trauma, babe. Yeah. When people don't, they don't deal with their uncomplicated grief and their unresolved trauma.
Okay.
It ends in this. Sorry, okay. I've been chatting off.
No, that's okay. I think we've got like, 15 to 20 minutes left. And the last thing that I want to talk about, I guess, is just some structural things so that people know what they should look out for.
Yeah.
So you've spoken about the evangelism. Is there anything else you want to add? Because the other day...
What makes you susceptible to cults?
Okay, go on.
Yeah, because I think we've got the recruitment, but then we need to understand what makes you vulnerable, what makes you more susceptible to cults. Yeah. So like,
I end up getting out? Do you know what I mean?
But that might be because of your critical thought. Maybe if you grew up in more of a secure environment. Yeah.
More of a sheltered type of...
Because if you've got critical... Like, because my friend, she used to come, but she didn't get heavily indoctrinated, but that was because she had a dad, like a really good dad, okay. like a strong father figure. Her mum yeah. was always there for her. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, I had a strong relationship with my mum, but I had a disorganized attachment with my dad.
Okay.
So that's what made me like more susceptible. More vulnerable. But I, what I think it is with, do you want me to psychoanalyze you?
Me?
Yeah, because you said to me, what makes you? I would say if it was based on you, I would say the reason why you might have been susceptible to joining or felt like it might be because of your cultural background. Mm. Do you know what I mean? So, and this isn't even at a home level. This is now epigenetically through your ancestors. Do you understand? Yes. It's carrying the trauma through the DNA.
Talk about this.
Yeah.
It's in the blood. So,
basically, you would like defy kind of, you know, like the norms by being this, you know, black journalist and whatever they were. Doctor. Marry or a lawyer or it's very much like that. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's the cultural expectations. And also that is very, it's part of the culture.
Yeah.
So it's normalized. So that's why I said that this is the first point I'll say then. So, you know, when you're saying, is it an epidemic, you know, with black children, black yeah. kids from black African homes? Yes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we've seen on TikTok, there's a plethora of content creators who are saying, my parents are narcissistic. They're abusive. I can't yeah. wait to leave home. I'm trying to save. I'm not saying this is your situation.
Yeah,
I'm saying
no,
that.
No, no,
and
no.
I'm not saying all African parents,
yeah.
but all I know is I had to deconstruct from the wicked African mother archetype. Wow. I think I hear crickets because right. if I had continued being like that to my kids, I would have absolutely destroyed them. Mm-hmm. And my oldest one, I would have crushed her.
Just
soul.
For context, where are you from ethnically?
Oh God. So I've got Jamaican in me, okay. Cuban, okay. Aruban, Monster okay. Russian, lots of, so it's like North and South American countries
nice.
Mainly.
Okay.
But I do consider myself as an African woman.
Yeah.
When I did my DNA, like some people, Caribbean, they're Caribbean ancestry will show up in yeah. there. My ethnicity is obviously Caribbean, but I'm 37.1% Nigerian, about 21% Sierra Leonean. Yes, girl. I'm definitely a Niger woman. I mean, you can tell. I mean, yeah, I'm just, you know, yeah, I'm just 100. When I come, you know, I'm madam. Mm-hmm. So when I got married to my Nigerian husband and I started getting exposed to the culture, I was like,
yeah,
oh my, I found my
you.
People.
Yeah, yeah
I found my
you.
People, man. So, and there's been no looking back, yeah.
Yeah, I get it. I
so that's one of the things that make you susceptible when you have, there's cultural blurred lines. Yeah. And these things, you're just going because it's like, you know, oh, my mum's gone and the family and they're like, oh, yeah. make sure that you pray. Make sure that you find, yeah. you need to find a good church when you go to university. So it's like endorsing it yes. because we've got these, the baby bloomers, do you know what I mean? And that's why then when you go to the church, the pastor is exactly like daddy and yeah. uncle Ade. Yes. Do you know what I mean? You have to bow, you have to bend, you speak when you're spoken yes. to, obedient, subservient. Yes. When I first started speaking out, do you know all of the, because we've got a huge ministry in Ghana, that's where the cult leader lives and everything. It's a Ghanaian Christian fundamentalist cult. And when I first started speaking out, all the aunties were calling me, Leah, thank you so much. You know, we can't speak out like you. You know, you are like a British woman. Yeah. They say we are subservient. They have taught us to be obedient. Yeah. We don't have a voice, but you are having a voice. And it was just that one OG survivor that came and said that to me, and I said, you know what, I can't, because they were pissing me off, man, telling me, why are you wearing that? One time I did something, and I was putting all Dag's books down my top and all on my coochie, and I was whining up myself like, why?
I love that. Is that still up?
Yes, girl. I don't put no respect on Dag's books. Do you know what I mean? So if I'm gonna be rubbing it up on my coochie and my derriere and my crack, that's what I'm gonna be doing. I don't care. But they were all like, oh, this is so disrespectful. But why? If they're books of Satan, why can't I put them on, rub it with my ass? Why can't I use his book paper to rub my ass? Why can't I use his books to wipe my ass? Why can't I do that? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not Christian literature. It's not a holy book. And that's their problem.
Yeah.
They worship the book more than the Bible. Yes. That's why I was wiping the book with my ass and my front.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. I don't know how
there's
we got
no
there.
Point. I said I was going to come on here classy today to my mum, but there's just...
Really? I think you've you've done your best.
Oh, thanks,
and at the end of the day, I just wanted you to be you anyway. So
I'm
glad I was able to make you comfortable enough
you
to
have.
Just be who you are.
I know. Girl, whenever you want me to come back or whatever, man, I'll come back.
Let's see what the, because I'm interested to see what the comments say.
And
I'm
I've
interested
got survivors
to see what
as well.
Wanna say.
I've got survivors who want to come and speak out as well. So maybe when I've got more of that like established thing going on, we could come back with some
would
survivors.
Would you start a podcast yourself?
Yeah, that's something that I am looking into.
In the works?
Yeah, I am looking. It is in the works because I need to get the book out
there's
first.
A, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I need to get. And I have done. I've started. I've got one of these at home, and I've got a podcast in it, babe. I've got a podcast, I've done a couple of stuff, but not us sitting like this. I've just done it with, you know, my voice when they've really pissed me off, when they get me off the live, then I go on my podcast. So, but I need to do up the whole setup thing. That's all to come.
We can talk about it.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah. To get some pointers. And,
exactly. Because I've been doing this for 2 years. Yeah, I've been doing this for 2 years, and there's a lot, like, I would love you to start at the point that I'm at now.
Yeah.
Because the stuff that I was doing for the past two... Anyway, we'll get into that. But what do you call it? I don't know how we diverged, but you were talking about...
Being susceptible to cults.
And you made one great point, which is just heritage, culture in general.
Yeah.
If there's anything else, you can add that. But the next thing I wanted to ask you was about the structure of a cult. Like, what is it specifically about a cult that is so different to a general community or like a genuine church?
So you're asking about structure and hierarchy. So what I will say before we move on to that is just quickly, also disability makes you very susceptible and vulnerable if you're neurodivergent. So, you know, like I've got BPD, you know, like that feeling of like having a favorite person, being validated through people, etc. And then I want to say severe mental health. And then if you're a child, because your prefrontal cortex hasn't even finished forming.
Child, what age is that?
So, I mean, babe, they're recruiting from as young as 10, 12. Really? Yeah. Because you've got to remember.
In my head, I'm thinking maybe the lowest they'll go is 16.
No, you've got to remember, because they recruit their siblings, remember? So when I was like 19, I was bringing my 9-year-old sister and my 7-year-old brother. So you come with your siblings and the mom's thinking, oh, that's nice. Are they going to church together? And remember, if you come from that cultural background, they're going to be like, oh, great.
Yeah,
but maybe like more of a middle class Venezuelan family or whatever might question, where's this church? Where you go to the... But there's more trust because of the community, you know, like our community. So I would say that those are the top. Do you think any have I missed any? That's it, isn't it? Oh, and if you're a woman, because they're misogynistic. Wow. Patriarchal environment. So if you're a woman,
stay you're away. More susceptible.
And then you asked about the systems and structures. All right, so let's break this down. Now, in most of these church cults, they run like pyramid schemes. Okay. So the difference between a community is that they're not for profit. All right,
So it won't feel that like
pay as you go.
Yes,
so even in these community centers, if they're doing something, whatever, they get funding. Mm. So, you know, they'll give you the shirt. My mom's a community leader. Yeah. You know, she runs her own community organization. I know exactly what goes into it. So one of the things is that they're transparent. Community organizations are transparent about their funding. They're transparent about the cash flow coming in, coming out. Everything's documented. Another thing is that people are brought, it's democratic. People are brought into the process. Okay. If there's changes, if there's votes, if they get in money, they vote as to what that money is going to get spent on. Now they're going to argue, the church is a spiritual host. How dare you? How dare she? The church is a spiritual institution and hospital and institution. So therefore, there is no democracy. The Lord appoints and the Lord anoints. But it's like, no, he don't, babe. Bishop Richard, when Bishop Richard feels like making people barristers, then he'll make them. Anyway, sorry, what was I saying? I got completely... I'm so sorry. There's so much passion here, Jair.
I love it.
Structures,
it takes me a minute sometimes to think, where are you going?
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. So basically, they have like a pyramid scheme then.
Yeah.
In the
Which way is the pyramid? This way?
I'm saying,
not this way, because
like this, top down. Okay. The reason why I brought that up, because I'm talking to the cults, because they're going to watch this. I'm talking to the cult. They know what I'm talking about. Mm. Oh, there's another thing. That characteristic cult jargon. They speak another language.
Oh, my gosh.
So you'll be struggling. She gets it.
Let me let you land.
So I'm speaking in another language because I know they're going to come on here. Hey. And they're going to be watching this.
Yeah.
So that was the point I was making, that they brainwash them and indoctrinate them to see it like a spiritual institution, not like a charity. Because they are registered with the charity commissioners, okay? So this is the point I was getting to.
Mm-hmm.
Their finances are not transparent in a church cult. It's a tyrannical dictatorship, so people can't vote in leadership, but they've brainwashed us to see it like a spiritual institution, like God appoints, God anoints, but it's not. It's just the pastors being corrupt.
Yeah.
So that's my point. In a community organization, you will get autonomy, you will get love, you will get freedom. They will nurture and enhance you to make your dreams come true, to live out, you know, your creativity, like what you want. They will nurture you. They will nourish your talents and your gifts. In a church cult, they will siphon that. They will stump it out, and they will also put you in a box. So in these church cults, they've got ministries. So it's like, if you sing, the choir. If you dance, that's it. What about someone who paints? What about a poet? What about someone like you, like a journalist? You could come in and start your own ministry, but it's so dogmatic. It's so black and white. It's set in stone. Mm. So the church hasn't evolved. And then they go and teeth everything from the world, start doing like pop the balloon and all of that. And then you're saying that the world are trying to steal from you. But here you are, you're begging it. You look like begs. It's a joke. Because here in the world, we're doing it properly. You look like idiots. You look like fools. Because you're trying to be in the world, but you're not supposed to be in. You're supposed to be off the world, but not in the world. So you look strange. Yeah. You look stupid.
It all just contradicts. Do you want,
You look so hypocritical, like a stick is stuck up your ass. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, you're not approachable. You're not appealable. You're judgmental. We're screaming and we're telling you. Still, you don't take accountability.
Oh my gosh, this is another thing about the people in the cults. You're supposed to be Christian, but you're very stush, you're very standoffish, you're not very kind people. As people, you're not very nice. Okay, I know that we've got like 5-10 minutes, and the last thing that I want to do is just ask you a question that is like, that might be contrary to what you believe, which is, what if these people are happy? What if these people think that this is their community? Is that okay?
Well, what I'm going to say to you is that IDGAF, really, I don't care. I don't care. I couldn't care less whether they're happy or sad. Okay. But what I will say to you is that from a cult psycho-ed perspective, we are not allowed to show emotions.
Okay.
All right, my love?
From
they
when
control
you're in the cult?
Our emotions. So as soon as you come into the church, oh my God, I can't believe it. It's so nice that you're here. Oh my gosh. Oh yeah. Oh God, I can't believe that you're here. Oh, did you enjoy the service? It's overwhelming. They're fake. Your cheeks are hurting and your foot bottom is bleeding. Do you know I've had Cara survivors come and tell me that their feet were swollen and blistered, bleeding because they've been on their foot serving because the hostess, you know, what do they call them? Is it the hosting? Yeah, the hosting team. They've got to wear heels. They've got to wear makeup. They've got to be perfect because ours got a big perfection thing going in there. Do you understand what I'm saying? So girls just can't be natural and just be themselves.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I think I don't even want to do the whole 10 minutes that we have left.
Yeah.
I think this has been a lot.
There's a lot in there.
I think this has been a lot. And just for the sake of you, even, you need to just take a breather.
Can I just give some church cults for people to be aware of?
You know, that's exactly how I wanted to end it. Perfect. Like, we're on the same. Please. So, guys, please, these are the churches, the cults that you should be aware of, that you should steer very clear away from when you hear their name.
And I want to just give a disclaimer. This isn't a full exhaustive list. Again, you do need to engage with my content. You do need to deconstruct and deprogram yourself to find out what the characteristics and cult tactics are. Because I get survivors saying, Leah, can you recommend a good judge to us, Christian? Like, I don't know the heart of man. That's my question. So I'm going to let you know the top church cults that are on my radar. So we've got RPF, the Redeemed Pillar of Fire. That's Pastor Austin. And they're in the back streets of South London. Mm. Then we've got NGRM. That is False Prophet Onya Kapawa and his false prophetess wife, Cecia Powell. She's 48 years old and Onyeka's 29. So she's quite the bread. Then we've got SPAC Nation, Nation Family. But we don't need to say much more. Yeah. Then we've got UCKG, the billionaire pastor, Macedo. Then we've got Karis, David Antry. That's, you know, the alleged essayer and Grey Puss Steps. I think the girl called him, what did she call him in the text? Was it Little Leprechaun Man? I think she said she just banged him because he's a little leprechaun man. I was busting up.
That is hilarious.
And you know what? Me and a survivor were talking. I thought Steps was about 20. You look like a child. You look like a little boy.
How old is he?
I thought he's 25. I thought he was 20 years old or 19. That's why I was taking it a bit easy on him.
Lucky, I thought he was like my age.
Listen,
he's 25.
If I'd known he was an alleged essay or a graper before, that content would have been very different. But I think that's drawn out the victims as well, because I think everyone was looking at Steps like a victim in the essay. And no, I know the
rules. He is 25.
How did we get here, girl?
Oh yeah, mind you, we're supposed to be listing churches.
Because we're vibing and flowing. So obviously Karis and KP2, that's Karis Phase 2. They've got them all around the country. And then I've got Potter's House as well. Potter's House is another one on my radar. Also Faith and Victory, Pastor Max, the ex-pastor that used to be on Backchat London. I was going to say Backchat Kitchen, yeah. He's supposed to be on the DL because I had twinks come forward from a gay dating site saying that he's gay and that Pastor Max is into twinks. I think that's what they call them, girl, because this isn't my world. And twinks are, I think they're the blonde hair, blue eyed, very pretty, you know, LGBTQ plus men. I think that those all, oh God, how could I forget? How could I forget to say, oh my God, where I'm from? Dag Ewan Mills, the medical doctor by profession. He's a best-selling author. He's a prophet. He's an evangelist. He is a songwriter and a filmmaker. The wonderful, spectacular Big Dag Ewan Mills, as well as First Love, Pleasant Surprises, and Worcester Sea Chapel International. That's 2A Carden Road and SE153UD. Oh my God, Nia Cerise and false prophet Timothy. The plug. We've had survivors coming forward as well. And KAC.
The list is too long.
Yeah, and that's not all of them.
And that's not even all of them. Guys, be safe out there. And also, I just wanted to say, RPF is moving to North London now.
Just
so
a new branch.
Yeah. So, right, it's a new branch. So they're staying in South.
They're opening a new branch. I've got the flyer in my face. Girl, you know, this is what I do, baby. Okay. I'm going to do some content on RPF.
Please do.
I will.
Guys, thank you so much for staying for this long. Thank you so much for engaging with our content. Make sure you head over to Leah's page and share this with anybody who you think needs to hear it, basically. And I guess we'll see you in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.